Hey everyone, welcome back to Queer Tattoos and Rosé, where we go through and discuss all things romance with Madison and me, Blake. It's Caitlin and me, Blake, today. Sorry I'm giggling. Sometimes I really wonder the things we say right before
5 seconds. Literally 5 seconds.
Press record, it gives you like a 5 second countdown, and we have a really bad habit of we'll continue saying just the craziest, weirdest, or just most out of pocket shit right up until like the one, and then it's like, oh, okay, we're in. All I'll say is, what was it? Funny but short time.
Yeah.
And then Caitlin just said, that's what she said, and then that sparks some things. But anyways, so this is going to be our 14th House of Earth and Blood episode. Yeah, but we're already over a third of the way through the book. We've been cooking. We're doing good.
I guess, wait, how many pages is it? Bro, it is 800 pages. It is, we're at 275.
Chapter 27 starts at 35% of the Kindle version. You want to come at me again? Huh?
No.
That's what I thought. No. I'm still on my first cup of coffee. I'll fucking throw hands.
Me too. Actually, my first espresso.
I guess technically mine's espresso too, if you want to get fancy, but whatever. Anyways. We're doing chapters 27 and 28, i.e. more than a third of the way into the book.
Fine, whatever.
We curse, we spoil things, we talk about whatever the fuck we want. We will not have House of Flame and Shadow spoilers yet, do not worry.
Don't even remember House of Flame and Shadow, so...
The more I remember, the more I spiral.
I don't remember,
but not necessarily in a good way for a lot of it. So we're just gonna, that's all I'll say. Don't worry, you guys have already listened to my non-spoiler review too. So it's not a spoiler. Anyways, before we get started though, I promise, Caitlin. So Wednesday night I recorded with a patron. Don't worry, I'll shout them out at the end. And I mentioned Wednesday in the episode, like, oh yeah, like I'm recording tomorrow, i.e. Thursday, with Caitlin for Sunday. Now, it is Saturday morning. Okay.
Hey, we're
basically like Thursday ended up being just a real shit day. To be honest, my work blew up. I had a migraine. Still kind of have a migraine. Thus, I'm sitting in a dark room. But whatever. But that's not the point. The shift from Thursday to Saturday is not the point. The reason we are not recording, we weren't from the get go doing Sunday morning.
You calling me
out. Get a text. Oh, I'm calling you out. Oh, 100%. Because guys, remember, Caitlin doesn't drink that much.
I don't. This
Caitlin
is the first
doesn't
time
travel that much either.
Oh, I travel a ton. That is not a question.
Oh my god, you finally admit it. What was that again? Did you say that again?
I travel a ton. I get bored and I travel.
Could you say it slow?
I just get very clear. Bored and I travel.
How much?
A lot.
Okay.
I at least travel once a month.
God, the freedom. I did it to myself, though, finding a dog sitter for 5 dogs is, but, so, I don't know, it was
Monday?
Yeah, it was Monday, so I'm like, okay, I get a text saying, can we record during the week sometime? I'm not going to be physically able to record Sunday morning. Now, my first thought, and I don't know why, mainly because dates don't work for me, you know, like, I don't conceptualize dates, so, like, it didn't click with me. What is coming? My first thought was, oh no, did she sign up for like some race that she has no business running right now? Like, I genuinely thought you were about to be like,
my sister's actually running the half marathon in Virginia Beach for St. Patrick's Day, which I
was going
to run.
That's a really good race.
It's flat. It's literally just straight up flat. I was going to run that, but then I didn't feel like it. So no.
Yeah, that was my thought, though, was like, oh my god, this girl's doing another half marathon. Like, she's doing it. I say as if Caitlin couldn't come back at me about a half marathon experience, so fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't even start with
I'm
that
sorry.
Shit.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Look, that was, my time was great, okay?
Asshole.
My time was great. Anyways, so I'm sitting there, like, it took me a few minutes to respond, because I'm literally, you know me, Miss Anxiety, I'm like, am I missing? I also was like, is Caitlin having surgery? Did I miss something? Like, I was like, is she okay medically? Is she having a surgery? What's going on? And then so finally I was like, yeah, that works. And then next message, why? Guys, this SOB was like, oh, well, St. Patrick's Day, one of my friends is having a house party. Caitlin is 30 years old. Okay, look, if you still do house parties, that's fine.
They have a nice-ass house in D.C. Of course I'm gonna fucking go there.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, but either way, I don't care if you have house parties. I don't care if you go to them. Whatever, that's fine. More, it just makes me giggle every time this bitch is like, oh, I'm going bar hopping. Oh, I'm doing this crawl. Oh, I'm going to a house party. But then, like, literally a week later, she'll be like, I haven't really gotten drunk in a while. I don't drink that much.
I haven't. This is probably the first time this month.
Caitlin, it's only the 16th.
Oh, shut up.
Like, it's not like we're on the 29th. I mean, you are over halfway, so that's great.
Yeah, I am over halfway.
Hang on. I always feel the need to make this clear. Caitlin, I'm not saying Caitlin's an alcoholic in any way, shape, or form.
She does not have a
drinking problem. That's not it. It's that when she does get drunk, she ends up with the craziest fucking stories. And then she'll always be like, it's just because I never get drunk anymore, so it hit me harder. And I'm like, that's not how that works.
To preface this, if I drink, I only drink once a week. And it's usually on Saturday. Like, that's usually the day, like, I go, and here's the issue. I go day drinking. So I don't usually go out to,
that'll
like,
fuck you up.
I don't go out till 2 or 3 a.m. I just do bottomless brunch, get all the adrenaline and all the shit from that, and then continue drinking. And so I usually drink for a decent amount of time. But again, it's only once a week and on a Saturday if I do. And I always work out before I go drinking,
too. That's what makes it hit. That's what, if you work out before you day drink, oh.
I work out, and I work out fucking hard, too, because my workout
as long as you eat, because if you do that and then don't eat and then drink, you're in for a bad time. Yeah. But if you eat and then drink, you're good.
Yeah.
Also, you should always eat after a workout, just as a, you know, baseline.
Yep. So, yeah, I'll work out super, super fucking hard. Then I go day drinking, and then I just, like, don't trust myself the day after. The hangovers haven't been as bad because I've been a little bit more conscious of, like, oh.
Hydrating, Tylenol.
Hydrating, yep. Making sure that, like, oh, I shouldn't be mixing 6 different alcohols all at once.
Proud of you.
So they're not as bad, but with this group of friends, they're, like, very Irish. They have, like, dual citizenship in Ireland, so they go fucking hard. And I was
if I had dual citizenship between this shithole and Ireland, my ass would be in Ireland.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, they go all out, because they used to go up to Boston and do, like, a giant party with their cousins, so, like,
oh my god. You know, like, how I feel about the Boston accent, though. I'm sorry for anyone that listens from Boston. I am sorry. I can't do it.
Yeah, but it depends on, like, who's talking.
I can't.
But so, yes,
it could be Matt Damon, it could be Ben Affleck. Nope.
So they're throwing a big St. Patrick's Day party, and I don't trust myself. So, and I knew we needed to record because I dipped out on recording last
week. So, it didn't get canceled. You just aren't going anymore?
Oh, no, I'm going. Oh, here's the situation.
Okay, now I'm so confused.
Oh, yeah, no. So, here's the situation. They're, like, sick, so they're not doing, like, the full day. So they're only going to be doing the house party from 3 p.m. to, like, 5 p.m. And then doing the stuff afterwards. So I will be most likely potentially meeting up with other people at that point.
You are such a social little butterfly.
I know.
It astounds me every time.
Sometimes it's kind of crazy.
Sometimes.
Also, I might be meeting up with, like, one of the many guys that I'm dating, too. So I also kind of want to leave that open as well.
Does this guy know that he's one of many guys?
No. So here's the situation now. I have not been on, like, an actual date in, like, 2 years. And all of a sudden...
Wait!
I literally haven't been on, like, an actual, like, going out to, like, dinner date in, like, 2 years.
Okay, continue.
And now, all of a sudden, I have 4 different guys that I am seeing. I don't have any of their numbers saved in my phone.
Oh my god, you're doing this shit again. Guys, she's done this before.
So this is going to be fun. As I told someone last night, I'm back.
How do you not accidentally text the wrong, like, answer the wrong
because
guy?
Because I'm smart. I have no idea.
Wow, she got real feisty there, man.
No, I have actually no fucking idea, and I'm genuinely concerned about messing this up.
I literally have, you know, people's names saved in my phone and have multiple group chats going at once, and I still randomly will sometimes accidentally text the wrong person, and then I'll be like, ha, sorry. Like, I couldn't do it for 4 guys with their numbers not saved. God. Okay.
Nope.
Anyways, long story short.
So, update on my life.
Yeah, update on Caitlin's life. Long story short. Our recording schedule is all over the place, but I just wanted it known that
the
original move was because Caitlin was like, I'm going to be hungover.
I'm going to be hungover for St. Patrick's Day, like the good old Irish girl that I am.
Woo! Oh, shit. Okay. All right. So, anyways, back to the romancy. Oh, I got to do recap. Okay, recap for last time. Basically, kaboom. Hunt did start to realize that he had fucked up. You know, we know from a couple episodes ago, the idiot was like, oh my god, Bryce, you're on my suspect list. And Bryce is like, what? And then he's like, oh, by the way, you saved Micah. What? Oh, by the way, you're being a bitch. What? Like,
oh, by the way, I just realized you're chugging water and not actually vodka.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he realizes the vodka. He meets Juniper. Club goes kaboom. Bryce, you know, jumps, honestly heroic, covers Juniper. Juniper's made the drop. Juniper's not happy about her friend who has not made the drop. You know, sacrificing herself, essentially. Fucking just bam! Hits her across the face. Bruise. Yeah. Hunt gets Bryce. Well, Rune was there too, but that's a whole other thing. Hunt gets Bryce back to, like, we see the frat house. Rune and Bryce kind of give each other a little bit more information about each other's goals, kind of, but they're still pretty snippy. We get more of the Otten King, just, you're really starting to see what a, like, controlling fucking dick he is, to Rune. And that's about it. So, 27, we're still at the night of the bombing, so, like, this is a long-ass night.
My God, I forgot how long she writes this shit.
Okay. For the thing, like, just in, like, to all of the shit from the crime scene, all of that, everything, to where Bryce took off running and ran to the White Raven, went through all her memories to basically self-harm, then went into the club. Club got bombed. Hunt took her to Rune's place. They're back at the club. This is all one continuous day. And remember, at the club, like, she hadn't eaten all day either. Thank you. That's why I'm like, what the fuck?
I'd be hangry. I'd be mad.
Dude,
granted, I'm sure the adrenaline rush from, like, the bombing is...
I feel like it's... well, I feel like we see it wearing off easily in this chapter, yes. At least, I guess. So, they're in the streets. They're walking back past the club to Bryce's apartment. Hunt realizes she's barefoot, but he's like, I'm not even gonna ask to pick her up. She's not in the mood.
She's pissed, which I understand.
Yeah, for real. Oh, by the way, Hunt's gonna be her roommate, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They get to her building. The shifter doorman, who's always super nice to her, looks at Hunt like, the fuck are you? Yeah, what are you doing here?
If you live in a building that has a doorman and they, like, fully recognize you and, like, able to, mm-hmm. like, be like, oh, is this a good person? Like, yes.
Yes. Especially because you're paying for that. Doorman is... the person themselves isn't, but having that security, that's an amenity that you are paying for, so make sure it's a good one. So she's just like, Marin, Hunt's gonna be with me for the foreseeable future, unfortunately.
Fortune.
I know. So she's barefoot, she plods to the elevator, Hunt jumps in, tries to get in with his wings, and they go up. Now, this gave me, like, a parallel to when she comes back from the Raven on the night that we don't mention, where she was carrying her shoes, she was barefoot, went into their shitty apartment building, and had to get up the stairs barefoot, and just, you know what I mean? Like, the parallels of the two nights.
Yeah.
Where here, she's got a doorman, Hunt is with her, she's got an elevator up to her, like, it's very, it's interesting, but sad, too, because,
yes.
Like, everything, like,
but at least she's doing it with someone.
Yes, exactly. So in the elevator, Hunt finally, this chapter, Hunt blurts out a lot of questions that I feel like he's just been sitting on, and he's like, now's the time, I guess.
Well, I feel like he's just been holding them in so much that he's like, I have to get them out,
I think part of it is he's realized that he's made so many terrible assumptions,
yeah,
and he keeps getting called out, that he's like, okay, I'm just gonna get some information before I say shit. So he's like, why won't you make the drop? And that's when Bryce is literally, like, slumping against the elevator doors waiting for them to open. She kind of, like, stumbles out, goes to her apartment door, and then she ignores the question. My keys were in my purse. My first thought is, what a fucking annoyance. If you lose, that means she probably lost her credit card or whatever their license. You know, you lost all of your shit.
Yep.
I, coming from someone who later today, I literally have to go to a FedEx to, like, mail my, like, what does she call it? My accountant calls it, like, a tax organizer all of my documents that I had to go through. And then also to get Ian's passport renewed, we got to do that, too. Those are two minor things. If I had to go get a new driver's license, new credit cards, put holds on my old ones, get a new debit card, like all of that and apartment keys, that would be it for me. That would be like, as long as I knew I was okay from the bombing and like my loved ones were, I would still be sorry for everybody else.
That's when you would have your mental breakdown about the fact that you have to go redo all this shit.
You know what I mean? Like you have something terrible happen to you, and it's not until like a small ramification or consequence of it is what really hits you for the full trauma of everything that happened. Yeah. This would be it for me, honestly. Yep. Also, did I tell you about the passport thing? People will think it's funny.
What? No, I don't think you did.
Okay, but I know I've talked to you. Remember how I've said, oh, fuck, my Ian and I's passports are expired?
Yeah.
I've said it multiple, have I not? Multiple times for months as I was planning what we were doing this summer. Tell me why earlier this week when I did, you know, you like type in the little renewal, you have to print it out and then like get the picture, you like do all that. We've got all that. I've got a check ready. We just got to get his passport picture and then take it to FedEx. Tell me why I did mine first. I got to the end of the thing, double checked all my information and was looking at my passport. Tell me why I thought my passport from 2016 was expired when they have 10-year lifespans.
Blake.
Guys, I need to make it very clear. Caitlin, when did I start saying my passport was expired? What, the fall? If
and
not earlier?
It was so long ago.
And when I say, it wasn't like a passing, like, oh shit, my passport's expired. It was literally, okay, so this makes me sound insane, but you just are. Know it was a really good deal. It was, it was when I found that Paris flight. When I got that, the deal thing. On my Chase Rewards.
Yes.
So guys, literally, I don't even remember what it was. Ian and I were like trying to figure out like a 4-day little getaway, like just a mini one. Cause we were both like, oh my God, I need something. And I got like this email from like Chase Rewards or whatever it was with the credit card. Yeah. And it was a flight round trip, two tickets round trip in like, not like, it was like not business. It was like not first. It was like the one between like regular. It was like economy plus, I guess would be the best. I don't know. Either way. To Paris, two tickets round trip would be it was like $780, two tickets round trip. Damn. That's under $400 a ticket.
Yeah.
And I could have like, obviously like used the rewards and everything for it. And I was like, oh my God. So I, of course, am looking at this before Ian even gets home. So I was going to be like, hey, in a month, want to go to Paris. But I immediately said, and I texted Madison and Caitlin, and I was like, oh my God, I just found this awesome Paris deal, but our passports are expired. Yep. I was convinced both of ours were. Now, granted, I don't know what I was going to do. Was I going to leave Ian and go to Paris for 4 days?
Possibly.
Possibly. I mean, possibly, honestly. I don't know. I mean, it is Paris, guys. But, like, I was just, and I know that makes me sound insane that I was going to go to Paris on a month's notice, but, like, on that big of a deal, yes. Yes, because honestly, after being in Paris, especially if I wanted to just do like Disneyland Paris, that shit's so, Disneyland Paris compared to the other parks is like a third of the price.
Yeah, it's super cheap.
You can stay at their crazy nice hotel for like $250 a night, if that.
Yep.
Like it's insane.
I've heard that too.
It's insane. Oh, I love like when I was over there, I was like, how much is this? Oh, okay. Wait, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, you're like, I went
I was on a super, super tight budget when I was doing my law thing abroad in the summer when I did like for the international law thing internship I got. So like, yeah, I was on a crazy budget. So anyways, so yeah, long story short, I was convinced my passport is expired. It's not. At least I only have one thing to do, one passport renewal to handle today. But yeah, so guys, in case you were wondering, I don't know why. Your passport's good for 10 years. Just a friendly reminder. And 2016 to 2024 is 8 years. Now, you can't go anywhere if your passport's expiring within 6 months of your return date.
Can't.
You've got to be on top of that.
Yep.
Be on top of that. I've heard, I actually know people that have been fucked by that.
I literally had a friend, my cousin's friend literally had that happen. She was getting on a flight to go to Greece. She had to go to England and then she went to Greece. And they literally were like, you are not allowed on this fucking flight.
Yeah. You can get lucky, depending on what airport you're at, that you can get to an embassy and they will give you like a provisional type thing. But basically what it is you have to pay out the ass for mm-hmm. an expedited, and they give you a provisional thing basically that goes in your passport that's like, this is in the process of yeah. being renewed, and it's like signed by the embassy essentially. It's like, well, something like that, but you will pay like thousands.
No, actually, so what you can also do though is if you talk to your congressman or woman, if you call them, because this is what she did, she called the congressman or woman's office being like, yo, I got to get out of the country. I have a flight booked. They were able to get her into the passport office first thing like Saturday morning. So another flight on Sunday. So like if you talk, sometimes you can go through your representatives.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
so look at us. We're basically travel agents, guys.
Oh, totally.
I would not trust us at anything.
Focus.
Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry. Anyways, this is what. Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, so she lost her keys. So Hunt is at least like, okay, does the doorman have a spare? And she just like nods. She's down. She's like sliding down her door. The day is hitting her.
Yep.
So of course Hunt has to deal with the doorman, who's like, like I just imagine him like muttering to himself, like. Like as Hunt's walking away. And so they get into the apartment and Bryce does answer. I was waiting. We were supposed to make the drop together. We picked 2 years from now. Hunt immediately's like, I know who you're talking about. It's Danica. And he's kind of reminiscing on his own past where he had a government employee. Like his mother died a few days before he made the drop. You guys know my theories on that whole thing. And he's just keeps just, it's like things pop into his head and he's like, okay. He's like, well, why are you still waiting?
Yeah.
I mean, so this is where he gets his first look at Bryce's apartment. Remember, Danica bought it without telling her. I'm assuming Danica probably decorated it for the most part, right?
That's what I kind of get.
Because it's, what is it? It's decorated without sparing any expense.
Yes. Yep.
It just sounds
so fucking nice.
The only thing that makes me wonder if Bryce did some of it was because, like, she, with the couch and stuff, or the coffee table when we see in Sky and Breath, but it could just also be because Danica could pick them out, too, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this shit sounds dope. It's an open concept. She's got a giant couch, a dope coffee table, a dining room table with, like, white leather chairs, an open, expansive kitchen with, like, an island. Like, it's dope. So anyways, Bryce finally is just like, without Danica, we were supposed to make the drop together. Connor and Thorne were going to anchor us. She lets Strinks out. This dude just comes running. He bypasses her and immediately starts just attacking with licks Hunt.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you little traitor.
Of course.
And this is Hunt's next just unfiltered question. Were you and Danica lovers? Buddy, it's a fair question.
Because
he's like, you know, like, he'd already been told they weren't, but he's like, man, friends don't mourn each other like this.
No.
And I'm like, I think part of that is he just doesn't.
He's never had a friend like that.
Exactly. Yes. And I genuinely believe, like, Bryce and Danica were, what's the word I'm trying to say?
Like, mates, but, like.
Yeah, they were soulmates, but non-sexual. What?
Yes.
Yeah, but what is the.
I have no idea.
Platonic soulmates.
Oh,
platonic
there you go.
Soulmates. So anyways, Strinks is attacking his food. We know that little guy throughout these books cracks me up how food motivated that little guy is. Same. So you can tell that Bryce has had this question before because like she's kind of just like, we weren't like that. And she tries to start to explain her and Connor, and she just can't. Like she cannot get the words out.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, when Danica died, when they all died, a light went out in me. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like Hunt realizes it too, because, you know, she doesn't party. She doesn't drink. She doesn't let herself have fun. She doesn't dance. It, like, she's very, very much a ghost of herself. And Hunt makes a note too, though, like the loss of the pack was a loss for the city as well.
Yeah.
So it's not great. And Hunt, this is where Hunt kind of, he's not verbalizing it, but he commiserates with her. Like, he understands. This is where one of those kind of pivotal points where he's, like, actually seeing her.
Yep.
This is probably one of the most things that pulled me, like, suspension of disbelief in this fantasy urban world, is that Bryce has a landline.
I know. I was literally reading that, and I was like, oh my parents still have a landline.
Do they really?
Yeah, and I call them all the time on it. Wow. It's literally like, that's in my list. So I usually do, I do landline. And if I can't get them on the landline, I'll call my mom first and then my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. My parents had a landline for a long time, but it was because where they live, like the cell service was not great for a long time. I want to say they had it through, at least through undergrad, I think.
Well, I just, like, do you remember growing up, literally, like, having to call your friends? So,
like, embarrassing and traumatizing.
It was like, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Woodward, can I speak to Blake?
Not to mention if you had a sibling.
Yes!
You would battle for that phone.
Oh, my God. It was bad.
Or, like, early days of cell phones when you only had so many texts a month.
Well, I didn't even have text.
Ian got grounded within the first couple months of us starting to date because we texted all the time. Oh, he got in so much trouble because he went over by like hundreds of text messages. And back in the day,
those were expensive.
It was like 5 cents a text, I think, after you went over your thing. It was insane. This always gets me.
I found that hysterical. I was like, and honestly, the call from home, that's exactly what my parents do.
Call from home.
Yep.
Call from home.
Yep.
I remember when I first read that and I was like, but then in my mind, I'm thinking like the Jetsons, maybe it's like a futuristic land.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. I'm not going to lie. I think when I have like finally have a house and like kids, I do think I would have a landline just because you never know with fucking cell phones. Like, if it's going to work or not. I don't know. I don't see
but by then you might know, they might not be running the lines for the landline.
That's true.
So it would basically just be like a cell phone built into your house. You know what I mean? Like that type of, it would have the same service.
I don't know.
Caitlin's going to go like prepper style and have like a sat phone.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Every time I think of sat phones, it's literally all I think of is Jurassic Park.
Oh my God.
The one where is it the third one? Where they keep following the noise and the dinosaur had eaten it. And they keep hearing it. And I'm like, guys, don't follow the noise.
No, that's one of the stupid things. You follow the noise. Of course you follow the creepy noise that you hear throughout the area.
It's fine. It's a great thing. It's fine. Okay. Anyways, sorry, guys. We're on a different level today. I'm sorry.
Obviously.
So, like, landline, call from home. Bryce physically, like, you can watch her, like, rally herself to answer this phone where she's like, all right, you got this. So she answers the phone and just lies. We've all been here. We've all been here.
You're just like, I don't want to give you the details of whatever shit is going on because then you're going to freak out. You're going to have another, like... Something, it's just gonna be one more shit that I have to deal with, and I cannot deal with this right now.
So, ready? Hey, Mom. No, I wasn't there. Line number one. My phone fell in the toilet at work. Line number two. Yelp, totally dead. That is true. I'll get a new one tomorrow. Possibly. She does, I'm pretty sure, but she didn't know that at the time. Yeah, I'm fine. Line number three. June wasn't there. Line number four. We're all good. Line number five. I know, it was just a long day at work. Technically true. She wasn't at work all day, but whatever.
Yeah.
Look, I've got company. Not that kind. Not yet. Don't get your hopes up. I'm serious. Yes, I let him in. I let him into my house willingly. Kind of a lie, because she's been pushed to do it, but whatever.
Honestly, that'd be like some, like, I appreciate that line that her mom was like, did you come in willingly? Or was he forced?
Are you? Say this. Say spatula if you're not in, like, if you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Mom, I will call you tomorrow. Why? That's lie number what, seven?
Yeah.
I'm not telling him hello. Bye. Bye, Mom. Love you. Like, in that short span, it was just a lie, 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 lie.
Hey, you can do it sometimes.
One of my great joys of these books is Strinx and Hunt's relationship.
Yeah, I know.
So he's literally just staring up at Hunt, kind of like starting to whine, like,
yeah,
look at my bowl, it's empty. And Hunt is just... formally met him in his house. Like, he's met him on walks. He's, you know, popped up out on the roof. Bryce doesn't know that. And he just hisses at him. Nope. Because he's literally, like, trying to con him. Now, my dogs do this.
Oh, my God. My dogs tricked us all the time.
They will act like they have not seen food in days. And then, like, Ian or I will go to feed them. And the other one will be like, no, they've been fed. Or, like, they'll want their, like, dental chews, right? Like, the treats, but their dental chews. And I'll be like, no, I gave them to him already. And, like, it's... They're little con artists.
I think the best was one day, I literally think we started having, like, when I was living with my parents, we had to start texting each other when we fed the dogs. Mm-hmm. Because we would literally, my dad would be like, I fed Holly and Lily. And we're like, okay. And then, because there were multiple times where they got fed four times, because mm-hmm. we usually do a morning feed and an evening feed.
Yeah, that's what we
literally
do.
Got fed four times because mm-hmm. my dad fed them, and then I woke up and I fed them. And then yep. he got home from work and fed them. And then I got home from work and I fed them. And he were just like, I was like, why didn't you tell me you fed? He's like, I didn't expect you to feed them. I was like, I am here. Like,
yeah, ours also no time, because they get, yes. it's 9 in the morning. Yep. Sometimes earlier, depending on, like, if I'm going to the office, you know what I mean? Like, yep. I have to get them earlier. And then 6 p.m. And yep. by God, if you hit 6:01,
and
if
you don't
hit
get their
6:02,
food.
Oh.
They're literally, our dog Lily, we had to, they always had, like, the tin, like, the metal yep, bowls.
They'll hit it.
Well, we had to start putting that up, because literally what she would do is she would, at 6 p.m., if it was 6:01 and we were not, like, making our way to the kitchen to, like, feed her, she would literally go pick up the bowl, find wherever we were, because we had hardwood floors all throughout yep. our house, and literally just drop it. Consistently. Mm-hmm. We're just like, okay, we know it's 6 o'clock. Honestly, you know what throws them off the most, though, is daylight
the time change. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, literally 5 p.m. they were sitting in front of us. We're like, sorry, it's on 6 p.m. yet. You have to get used to it.
Yeah. The fall, like, back, and now we're really springing forward. They're always like, oh my God, I'm getting fed. But falling back in the fall, mine are always like,
nope. It's dinner time. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyways, so. Bryce, like, gets off the phone and was like, after Hunt's literally hissing the word no at, you know, her pet, it's like she just remembers he's there, and she's like, oh right, guest room's yours, you're good to go, whatever, like, I'm gonna go shower. And just kind of like, I just imagine her kind of like swaying, not in a sexy way, like swaying down the hallway to her room, like she's hitting her,
like,
limit.
drunken sailor almost. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. So he's just like, okay, well, I'll get clothes tomorrow. And he's like, why'd you lie? And I'm like, honestly, though, that's a lot of lies. And we get a little bit of insight into Ember, where Bryce is just like, she would come, she'd be super, like, concerned, like, it's just easier this way. It would just, it too many questions. Like, fair enough. And so she finally was like, I need to find out who did this. And he's like, oh, I know. And she's like, no, you don't. Like, I don't care what motives everybody else has. I just need to know who did this. And this I understand on yeah. a fundamental level. Like, and so he promises they will. And she's like, how are you so sure? So he finally opens up to her a little bit here without, you know, accidentally opening up and then having to explain. And he goes through and explains Micah's deal for him. And she takes it pretty well. He keeps expecting some judgment, but yeah. it's not there. And he, like, kind of finishes, and she's just kind of quiet. And he's like, well, like, what do you have to say to that? And she's just like, she turns around, starts walking back to her bedroom, and she's just like, well, what? Like, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is kind of sad, but it also, it's sad because she's trying to make a point to him about his own feelings about himself, but he hopefully, like, it's on the fence if he's, like, trying to see it that way. He's like, well, aren't you going to say that I'm a self-serving piece of shit? And she pauses and, like, turns, and, like, there's a little bit of life back in her lies, so she's kind of yeah. ribbing him.
Yeah.
But why bother, Athalar, when you just said it for me?
Yep. She's so getting there a little bit.
She's getting there a little bit, but it's also, like, kind of sad because she's literally pointing out, like, I don't need to say anything. You're the meanest to yourself. Like, yep. And he just is like, all right. And he's like, he finally apologizes. Granted, it took, you know, a bomb. I'm sorry I thought you were a suspect. And more than that, I'm sorry I judged you. I thought you were just a party girl and I acted like an asshole. Now, I really like this from SJM, this next line. There's nothing wrong with being a party girl. I don't get why the world thinks there is.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm like, agreed. Like, live your life. Live your life. Have fun. Literally, you guys know how we are. Live your life. Yeah. Do I rib Caitlyn for her?
Obviously.
Drink? Obviously. Mainly because the girl's delusional. Okay?
Yes.
Just accept
it. I am.
But, like, I just, thank you. Like, there's nothing, that's like the, like, I'm saying it, the pick me girls that are like, oh my God, the Barbie movie. Oh, right. What people like, what they like, live your life, Also, Barbie was a fucking masterpiece. It's a travesty that Greta was not. You what?
Nothing.
Did you say you refused to watch it?
Yeah.
Girl, you can't do it. It's too emotional.
Exactly.
No, I know, because when you saw like a clip of America Ferrera's monologue, yeah. And you texted him and were like, I can't do this.
No, of course I'm not fucking watching it.
You would like it until the feels really kick in the second half, and you would be like, you'd be like the Grinch, I'm feeling.
No, who wants to feel shit?
I'm talking about the pick me girls. You know what I'm talking about. Like,
yes,
the ones,
I know.
Like,
the ones, they just make me, yes, I understand.
Yeah, no. So I love that she put that in there. Like, okay, fair enough. Like, and I love that Bryce is like, there's nothing wrong with that. And she's like, either way, because Bryce is literally just tired of people. She's like, just let him make the assumptions. Like, whatever. Yeah. People are going to assume the worst, whatever. Honestly, you will get such a sense of freedom when you realize that, like, you're not going to please everyone. You don't need to, like, live your life.
Yeah. I agree.
It was funny enough, Taylor Swift, where she's like, the rudest person or the weakest person or the meanest person is like the person that makes somebody feel dumb for being excited about something.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I butchered that quote, but like,
I hate people like that. Like, I genuinely get so mad at people who are like making fun of someone who like genuinely is enjoying something or like that one little thing. It's just like, shut the fuck up and let them be happy.
Exactly.
Like, if it brings them happiness, so what? You may think it's dumb, but it brings them happiness. Shut up. Who cares? Dude,
can I have you call some people for me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You're in Ohio.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So you're saying you think I'm really an asshole. And she once again is like kind of dead eye, like just looks at him. And she's like, I've had a lot of assholes. You're not one. And you weren't singing that tune earlier. And she just kind of like starts walking away, won't answer him. And he finally was like, okay, want me to get food? And she pauses. And this, what an order. Honestly, I reread this at like 8 a.m. this morning. And I was like, that sounds kind of good. Cheeseburger with cheese fries and a chocolate milkshake.
That sounds so good.
My only thing is I would go without the cheese on the fries only because I would dip the fries in the milkshake.
Ew.
Have you ever tried that?
Yes, I have tried. I have been doing that since the dawn of time. Yes. But
then why did you say fries, ew, if you've been doing
because
it?
Because cheese fries are glorious, okay? Like, I'm
what
already
if you got cheese fries and regular fries?
Okay, so here's the thing about me. I'm not a big sides person. So
see, we work well together because I'm a whore for sides, bro.
I do not like sides. Like, I'm like, I much rather eat like a really good, give me a big ass fucking burger and I could care less about the sides. Like, I'm all for the main entree.
Mm-mm.
One of my other friends, Chelsea, is like that. Literally, when we would go out to dinner, we would get one meal and I would eat the entree and she would eat the sides. Mm-hmm. And the waitress would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And
you know
really
what's
just
good
like
about that? Disney restaurants. When they do like the family style sides.
Oh my God, yeah.
Ian will get an entree and I'm sitting over here with like the family platter in front of me of just like.
Yep, exactly.
Oh yeah, no. You've got to find your entree side person, you know?
Exactly.
It is what it is. I'm also just exceedingly picky about burgers, but that's another whole other thing. So they get food. Bryson hails hers to where Hunt's like sneaking strings some fries because he's like, she's not gonna give you any. Here you go.
Yeah.
Also, I love that he was just like mad at the little guy for asking for more food, but then he's
and
giving
he
him
like,
fries.
Yeah, of course.
They're both just exhausted. He goes into the room, and of course starts snooping. We see he snoops a lot later. He snoops some more that he shouldn't, which is funny, but he snoops a lot. We get a description. Ember Quinlan, still a knockout, but when she was younger, crazy knockout. He was like, she could have been on billboards. Like, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's literally Bryce's face. Just Bryce's coloring's different from her asshole dad. And then we see her real dad, Randall, and it finally clicks with Hunt who, like, oh shit.
Yeah.
The stepdad is Randall Salago. Yeah. Salago.
Yep.
Also, the fan art of Randall that I've seen lately.
Yeah.
Daddy. And that's when he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense that she is kind of, you know, like, fearless crazy. And then he sees the infamous picture of Danica and Bryce sitting next to each other with the sword in the desert. Yes, like she's wearing her jacket through love all as possible. Oh my god,
whatever.
And it's just like this moment of peace.
And this was after their incident with
it was either after or right before.
No, it was after. It was after because she has a bandage on her arm. She's
covered in bruises. Yep, you're right. Yep. So it's just like a moment of peace while, you know, they recover. Yeah, it hurts. Chapter 28.
Yay! Better chapter.
Hunt wakes up, pulls his knife because he smells a male, and it shrinks. Literally, not like just like on the floor. He is sitting on the pillow next to him.
Yeah.
And he's just like swatting his face. This is Oswald. My cat that's part Maine Coon will literally, he's not swatting, but he'll like gently just like reach out and just like touch you.
Caress.
And, like, but that's what's weird is he doesn't do it for food. He doesn't do it for water. He literally just randomly, like he does it while I'm working, like freaks me out because he's so long that he can like, I'll be sitting at my desk, it's working, and I'll feel just like a ghost of a touch on my shoulder. Because again, this cat is super big and he'll just be touching me and I turn and he's just
terrifying.
Like, you can like catch him mid-act. So he'll have an arm on the back of my chair and I'll turn and he's like, you can't see, but he'll have his arm extended just like looking at me like, oh, hi.
That's
and so sometimes I'll pick
terrifying.
Him up. But, like, it's that's bad. Or like Minerva sleeps in her little squashmallow bed between Ian and I's heads. We have like a little squashmallow bed for her on the bed. Because otherwise she was like burrowing into our like our pillowcases, which is weird.
Yeah, you're just
so we were like, get her little thing. She'll like alternate who she faces, and she'll do that. She'll just reach out and just.
That's fucking. That would give me a fucking heart attack.
Oh, it has. It has. The worst is when I'm working and Oswald does the shoulder thing, because I literally am like, ah, ghost!
You're like, ghost, what's going on?
He, and like, again, he's just doing it. Whereas Strix is like swatting his face, like, wake up, bitch. It's breakfast time. So Hunt just like rolls and goes, like gets up. And it's only 7 a.m, but he's like, I didn't hear Bryce leave. Like, what's going on? So he starts getting up. And then he looks at Strix and he's like, why do I get the feeling that if I gave you breakfast, it'll actually be your second or third meal of the day? And Strix just innocently like blinks his eyes like, what? I don't know that. What's this?
Yeah, exactly.
Breakfast? Like, what are you talking about? And then unable to help himself, Hunt scratches him behind his little ears. And I'm like, you're done for, bro. You're done for. You're his little bitch from now on.
Yep.
So he looks through this makes me sad. He has a little bit of like a frantic little like, oh my god, I slept like the dead, and checks his phone because he was worried he missed something from Micah. So he can't even get a night's sleep without worrying that, like, you know, there was somebody he was supposed to kill. And then he's like, oh my god, I can't hear anything. And he immediately, bro should have learned to stop assuming the worst. And he's like, I swear to god, if she left this apartment without me, no, she is passed the fuck out in bed.
Yep.
Just out like the dead. And he's looking at her. He can see her beautiful tattoo. Huh, interesting. And he's just staring at her and he's like, oh my god, I'm a fucking creep.
Well, can we just talk about what she's wearing to bed?
Oh yeah, it's like a little nightgown.
It does not sound comfortable to me.
My only problem is I am cold all the time. I have nightgowns like this where they're like super low cut in the back and then just super fucking short. Now
I get so hot in the middle of the night.
Well, that's like, what this just, is like. Ugh. This wouldn't be, it's barely any clothing.
Yeah, but like, I just feel like when I wear a nightgown, like I get strangled. Like I'm legitimately like,
you've got to find the right cut. Yeah, you've got to find the right.
Because like I literally, I've tried to do that before and I literally have woke up with like a boob hanging out, something wrapped around my neck that shouldn't have been wrapped around my neck. Like, I was just like, I woke up so disheveled and I was like, did I get into a fight with someone? Like,
did I die?
Like, what is this situation? So no, I am a strictly oversized t-shirt.
Fair enough. Like, now, I will say, like, I need some new ones. Mine are like older, but it also depends on the material. Because some of the material of the like nightgowns, they're not meant to be slept in, right? They're meant to be seen and then taken off. Because I'm like, if I slept in that, even I would be like, oh, I'm dying of heat. Like, I couldn't do it. But he realizes he's staring like a creep.
Yeah.
Poor timing here, because he goes to turn and Juniper's letting herself into the apartment and sees him and is like, huh. She just walks right by him. She's got a bakery bag. So she just walks in, shoves into the bedroom, jostles the bag like a fucking, like, come here, come on, treatsies. And they're chocolate croissants. I would get up chocolate croissants. Yeah. And Bryce just, like, is like, what? What's going on? Juniper just goes to the bed, and
Holly goes,
it's not what it seems. And Juniper...
No, this is because Juniper strode to the bed and looked like she was about to plop down onto it, but glance at him. Like, she was she was like, what am I about to sit on? That's the interpretation I got. She was like, is this going to be a clean bed or is this going to be a gross bed?
Yes, this is sex bed.
Yeah, exactly.
And he says it's not what it seems. And she just smiles and goes, then some privacy would be nice. Oh, tell him. So he's like, yep. I can just imagine him like being like, oh God, flustered. And he's like, okay, coffee. I can make coffee. So he starts making coffee. He's listening in, obviously. Juniper is telling Bryce about like the Ravens dunzo.
Yeah.
The owner put a bounty out. They still think it was the humans. Fury's coming back. You know, she wants the challenge.
But Juniper hasn't told Bryce her and Fury.
Yeah, and which is even worse because Bryce is like, oh, she'll come back for that, but not for us. And Fury just goes, like, we all lost Danica that night. Like, everybody deals with it differently. Like, Fury's just like, you know, that's how she's processing it. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but you're not telling her the full truth. But again, it's their relationship. Like, it's theirs to tell. But I'm like, I feel like you still could give a little bit more. But okay. And so Juniper tries to apologize. And Beast's like, no, I get it. So then, this is cute. Juniper goes, so that gorgeous angel who's making you coffee right now. And Hunt grins because it had been such a long time since anybody thought of him as anything other than Umbra Mortis, the knife of the archangels. And I'm like, oh. And Bryce is like, no. Like, we're just working. And Juniper's like, uh-huh. So him being shirtless, making coffee in your apartment, like that's. And so Bryce is like, ah, oh, they live to show off their muscles, blah, blah, blah. And Juniper's just really surprised that he's there. And Bryce is like, dude, stop giving him compliments. He's probably so puffed up right now. And they're walking out to the kitchen and Hunt's just like puffed up. Bryce is still wearing, you know, nothing. And he looks, you know, her thighs are on full display and he sees that scar again and it makes him like cringe. And I'm like, bro, you've got to explain why you're cringing because otherwise she's going to get a complex of why you keep cringing when you see your legs. Like, come on. Juniper like realizes she's late, scurries out. And then Juniper, though, before she leaves, looks at him and goes, do your job, Umbra.
Oh, okay.
Juniper's, like, a little scary. Like, I think she would be, scrappy, unhinged in a fight.
I don't know. I think any friend group, if you start threatening one of the friends, I feel like anybody comes at you and you're just like, well, this is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, like, somebody comes for you or Maddie, it's done.
Yeah.
It's done.
I feel like...
Yeah.
Blake would be terrifying. Blake would just be dirty.
I mean...
You would fight
dirty. I just have no regrets. Let's put it that way. Like, yeah, I don't care. So then she's like, do you want a croissant? You know, and he's like, oh, okay. Bryce is like, why are you up so early? And he's like, it's almost 7:30. Like, that's not really that early. Like, what's going on? And then he drills her on, like, who has keys, adding him to the security. Yeah. And she's just like, why are you such an alpha hole? Like, does it get tired? And she goes off on alpha holes. So alpha hole, possessive, aggressive, you know, males who rip your shirt off at the slightest provocation. You know how to kill people in 20 different ways. You have females falling over themselves to be with you. And when you finally bang one, you go on full mating frenzy with her, refusing to let another male look at her or talk to her, deciding what and when she needs to eat, what she should wear when she sees her friends. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking? Like,
what is going on?
Mind you, it is 7:30 in the morning. He's just trying to eat a chocolate croissant. Yeah. Now, I get what she's saying. Timing delivery a little intense.
Yeah, exactly. It's 7:30 in the morning.
Definitely showing embers. He doesn't realize this, and the reader doesn't get the full extent of it, but definitely showing some residual trauma of her own and from Ember. And he's literally like, what? Your favorite hobbies are brooding, fighting, and roaring. You've perfected about 30 different types of snarls and growls. You've got a cabal of hot friends. And the moment one of you mates, the others fall like dominoes too. And gods help you when you all start having babies. He literally just shut her up, takes her croissant. And she just is like, oh. just like looks it from him to the pastry, and he's like, she might bite me. And he just takes a bite and he's like, he grabs a chair, sits on it backwards, of course, which I'm like, you're literally doing what an alpha hole would do, like straddling a backwards chair. Yeah, but I feel like
he's doing it on purpose.
He's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
So I can just imagine him with a half-eaten croissant using it, and like every time he says a number, he's like pointing at her with the croissant. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, one, the last thing I want to do is fuck you. So take the whole sex, mating, and babies off the option off the table. Bullshit, bitch. Bullshit. You literally notice how she looks all the time. Two, this is kind of sad, but like funny the way he says it. I don't have friends.
I know.
I'm like, okay. We love the self-awareness, I guess. So the show as fuck will be no couples retreat lifestyle anytime soon. Also, Couples Retreat, the movie, one of my all-time favorite. I love that movie so much. If you are about to talk shit about that movie, shut the fuck up.
I legitimately think there's a thing out there that is like, I have never sat down and seen Couples Retreat from like start to begin. I've seen like the full movie, but I've never seen
it. You've never sat and watched it all at once?
Yes, because it's always on TV, and I'm like, oh, like I'll turn it on, and I come in like halfway through or come in the beginning, and I have to leave and do something.
This shit, literally, I will be in tears laughing every time I watch that movie. Ian and I, that's like one of our like top movies together. We will watch it all the time.
No, I was literally watching, like, I remember because I do like, so I do yoga classes now, like on Wednesdays.
Oh my god, the yoga guy.
I literally every single time I go to yoga class, because it is a guy that like runs it, and I just like, I at some points I'm like trying to hysterically like not laugh because all I could think about is the yoga guy from Couples Retreat going boom, like boom, boom, I send my energy through you, boom, boom. And I'm literally just sitting there and I'm cracking up. Like, obviously this guy is not gonna do it, like he is very gay, like, but I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh my god, because there are some points at like child's pose where he like gives me like a little, he gives me a little bit of a deeper stretch, so he pushes down on my back a little bit more, and I'm legitimately like, I am trying so hard not to laugh, because all I can think about is like the boom, boom, and I'm like, oh, fuck me, I'm like, this
like, literally, talking about like St. Lucia and shit, because we've all talked about how Ian has to see his death coming at him in the water, like, he'll only go in clear ocean water, he's the whole thing. And I'm like, I swear to God, we're going to be, like, snarly or something. And he's going to, like, have, like, a fish touch him. And he'll be like, shark attack! And then later at dinner, be like, I know my truth.
No. Okay, so I'm going to tell you. So both of my brother-in-laws are the same way. And they all went to St. Lucia. They went to St. Lucia for their honeymoon. So here's the thing. Me and my sisters love the ocean. I will get into the Atlantic Ocean. I will do whatever the fuck I like, happily. We don't care about that. Both of my brother-in-laws are literally the biggest pussies when it comes to the water. Like, they bought, like, one of them literally had a fish, like, just a regular little fish, touch him. You could see it, touch him in the water, never went in the water in the rest of, like, the rest of the trip.
Oh my god. See, like, I'm, like, the weirdo that you have to drag me out of the water, if the tide pools. Oh.
If I'm snorkeling, you best believe my ass is in there. No, but, like, literally, the other one would, like, Michaela, like, got out, like, my sister got out of, like, they were doing some kayaking or something. Like, they were on a boat. And then I was like, oh, you want to jump off, like, the water? Like, jump off the end of the boat into the water? And she's like, yeah, hell yeah. And her husband was like, no. We're not doing that. She goes,
Ian already said, he's like, I'll be on the boat cheering you on. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm going to go make friends with the
legitimately, they got terrified about a fucking sea turtle. Sea turtle. Like, legitimately scared of a sea turtle.
I'm going to tell you right now, I do have trust issues with myself that, like, I've been in the water in the Keys and things like that, too. Like, as a child, I literally had, like, my parents had to keep, like, a leash on me when we were snorkeling and stuff, because I would be, I'm talking, like, 6-7 years old, diving down in the Keys. There's a lot of different coral reefs. You can go out on excursions. And there are, I've seen quite a few, like, tiger sharks. Like, there are things in the water, obviously, that, like, can fuck you up. But, like, I would come up with things in my hands that I shouldn't be. I would, you know, and you're not supposed to do this, guys. Don't do this. I was a child and, like, a hellion of a child. Touch a sea turtle. I tried to touch a shark, not shark rays, rays.
Manta rays, rays, yeah.
If I saw a manta ray in the wild, you could kill me.
I know someone someone who's doing that in Hawaii, which I'm so jealous of.
They are the most majestic motherfuckers.
They're...
I'm, like, tearing up thinking about them. I love them so much. Moana really
brought it home for me.
brought it home for me because remember that I saw that within like a couple months of my grandmother passing.
Yes,
I was true. Like, oh my yep. God. My dad was, but anyways, yeah, no, manta rays. Anyways, okay, okay.
Back, focus, number three.
Focus, focus, focus. Oh yeah, three. If we're complaining about people who are clothing optional, I'm not the one who parades around this apartment in bra and underwear every morning while getting dressed. Oh. Oh.
See,
but I'm then not- he doesn't want to fuck her though, because he's literally like, yeah. If I look that way, I'd wear it too.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Living in my own apartment, I never close my windows.
Yes, I know.
There are certain times where I'm very happy that people cannot see into my apartment because clothing is sometimes optional.
I was going to say I do that at my home all the time.
Yeah, clothing's optional.
All the time. And she just, everything he says, she just goes, that was my croissant.
That would be my response too. I'm like, I didn't hear a single word you just said. You ate my croissant. What is this?
Not yet. A chocolate croissant, especially.
What? Like, wasn't there like a meme or something?
About a croissant?
Yeah. Oh crap. What was it? I don't remember. It'll come to me.
Are you thinking of the TikTok sound? I wanted a croissant. So I got the croissant or however it went.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe. I don't know.
Keep going.
All right. Anyways. So he's like, look, you're going to do this because I'm trying to keep you from dying and I'm doing my job. And she goes, stop cursing so much. You're upsetting so much. And
I just like the way he flips it around. Like, I enjoy this switch.
He's fucking with her. But no, he doesn't want to fuck her. Okay.
Yeah.
He leans in. You have the dirtiest mouth I've ever heard, sweetheart. And from the way you act, I think you might be the alpha hole here. Him calling her sweetheart.
Dude, I'm sorry. Fold. If someone does. Oh, done.
Bold.
You can take Fold. Me now.
Fold. So then she hisses at him and he goes, see, what was it you said? An assortment of snarls and growls. Well, there you go. And he like waves his hand and I'm like, oh my God, she's walking right into this.
Yeah.
Don't ever eat my croissant again and stop calling me sweetheart. And he's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to get my clothes. Where are you going to be? And he's like, she says nothing. And he goes, the answer is with me. Anywhere you or I go, we go together from now on. Got it? And she flips it off but doesn't say anything else. And I'm like, oh, you guys really do go together. But like,
I kind of love the switch that they've
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I also love that he flips it around that I'm like, maybe you're the alpha hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for today for House of Earth and Blood. Are you reading anything new?
So I just finished a book called One of Us is Dead.
Oh, it's getting Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, it was. But it honestly, it kind of was in a sense.
Oh, I was just kidding. Because the like,
no. Yeah. In One of Us. Well, because it was a story of like five women.
Okay.
And one of them is dead. And it kind of switched between like the present and like the past to like try to like do that. It was written by the author who wrote The Perfect Marriage.
I've heard that one's a mindfuck.
Oh, man, that one's a mindfuck. This one wasn't so much. I saw the ending coming from a mile away. Okay. But it was, like, it was a really good book. I just finished it. And then I'm back on, like, a Michael Connelly, like, Lincoln Lawyer book, The Resurrection Walk. But that's it for now. What – do we have our book club book pick?
Yeah, it's How to Heal.
Okay.
By Janina. It's the one I told you about with all the plot.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll like that because you like books where you don't know who to trust.
Yes, I do. Okay.
And I'll get to, book club. Speaking of which, I finished What Did You Do, which is the sequel to How Does It Feel? Still just as a bit of mindfucked after mindfucked after mindfuck. The cliffhanger was not really a cliffhanger for book three, so that made me feel pretty good. I also finished Once Upon a Broken Heart. I did finish the audio for that. And then I am, I think, like 80% through The Ballad of Never After, which is the sequel for that one. Really, I hadn't read the second or third one yet. So I'm going straight into the audiobooks. I don't want to touch the editions I got since I got the like super rare special editions that are worth a lot of money. So I don't want to touch them. So I'm doing that. I didn't realize they sold out that quickly. And then when I got them, I was like, oh, wow. And I like looked at something. I looked to check something. And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm not touching these. I've been doing the audiobooks. Also, they've all been like $7.99 on Audible, and they're normally like 20 something or 30 something. I don't know. I'm not questioning it. I don't know. I keep getting random prices on my Audible that are super low, and I'm not questioning it.
Hey,
I'm not. And I hoard my Audible credits. Like, I hoard them. I don't know why, but it's just like, so I'm reading that. And then what did I, hang on, I gotta open my Kindle because I started other shit, but I don't remember what I've started a bunch of books because I'm kind of in like a little bit of a, right, yeah. I'm reading A Soul to Touch by Opal Rain. It's the third book in the Duskwalker Bride series. Really good so far. I'm like 40 or 50% in. And then I'm, I think like 30 or 40% into Where's Molly by H.D. Carleton as well. Loving that. I think that's it for all I've got. Yeah. So speaking of, well, first social media. So ACOTR podcast, you know where to find me. You can find Mads, Breathless Lit PA. Caitlin is an enigma. If you need her, let us know. And we will track her down, you know.
Sometimes.
Little Wicket Book Box, by the way, guys. They just dropped new merch yesterday on Friday, March 15th. Some of it is H.D. Carleton licensed. So that's fucking dope. This new shit's amazing. Just a reminder, if you use ACOTR podcast, all caps, you'll get 10% off merch and 10% off your first subscription. Subscriptions will open April 1st through the 5th. So be on the lookout. That's coming up. As far as an Insta shout out goes, this one a little bit more somber, but I just wanted to kind of shout out everyone kind of coming together in the sense of community we're seeing. I'm sure a lot of people have heard about the situation with some truly fucking awful POS human beings in male human beings within the narrator community and the victims of their actions. And we are thinking of those victims. We stand with them. And I just seen the sense of community and the authors, the readers, everybody kind of coming together. That means a lot. And it's a reminder of the amazing community that we do have. I know we oftentimes are like, all right, book community, we got to do a little bit better here. But like, that's been good to see. Patron shout out is Ashley. I recorded with her earlier this week. She matched my level of chaos, you know, hard to do. Super fun. We talk about Divine Rivals, the duet or duology, whatever you want to call it. It isn't spoiler free, so be prepared for that. But we also just touched on a bunch of other stuff, so it's super fun. Book club, like I said, it's How Does It Feel by Janine O'Reilly. The dates are up. We are waiting for voting to close tomorrow night. So far, it'll either be Saturday, April 6th or Sunday, April 7th. Looks like Sunday is winning slightly, either 7 or 8 p.m. So far. But again, I'll let everybody know on Discord once the closing happens, once voting closes tomorrow for that. And we'll have another special. I know next week's supposed to be a Patreon bonus episode, but it's going to be a bonus episode for everyone. We're excited. We are talking with J.A. George for Heavy is the Crown. It's the sequel to Gothic Grove, which is coming out. And so we're going to be talking about that. And I'm very excited. That'll be up Thursday. And I think that is it. To the extent you're, celebrating St. Patrick's Day, be safe. You know the drill. Uber, Lyft. We love you all. Be safe. Don't do anything too crazy. Don't do anything that Maddie, me, or Caitlin wouldn't do. Just one of
mine. Us. Mine is probably, I have a little bit higher a threshold, so.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Don't do anything Caitlin wouldn't do. That's all we'll say. So with that, guys, we hope you have a great start to your week. And as always, cheers to our high fae bays. Bye!